Today on Sermons from the Well.
So 8,000 people got saved because of 120 people decided, you know what? I've got a lot going on, but for 10 days we're going to tarry till I'll be filled with power. See, Jesus told him in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But can you imagine people sitting around that upper room, because it was 10 days, but they didn't know how long it was going to be. He said, tarry till you receive. In other words, stay there till you get it. That's the reason I believe that everybody needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not so we can all speak in tongues. It's so that we can have the power of God in our lives. Amen.
It's time for The Word with Pastor Tim Rigdon with The Well. This is a church digging a wellspring of revival in rural America. This is a place where you come as you are. You won't leave the same. Now, here is Pastor Tim Rigdon with today's message here on Sermons from the Well.
As we continue to celebrate this morning, of course, we know it's Pentecost Sunday, but how many knows what tomorrow is? Amen. It's Memorial Day. So, we want to honor those that went on before us, but those who fought. So I know this is not Veterans Day, but I'd still like to honor all the veterans. So if you're a veteran here today, would you please stand up? It doesn't matter what branch you fought in or you were. Amen. Let's give them a big hand. Hallelujah. Appreciate y'all's service. I've been praying about it a long time. I said, Lord, how do you do Memorial Day and Pentecost Sunday in the same message? I don't know about all that, but here's what the Lord gave me on the first part of it before we get started. He said this, today we stand between two powerful reminders. Memorial Day reminds us of the price that was paid for our earthly freedom. Pentecost Sunday reminds us of the price that was paid for our spiritual freedom. One remembers soldiers who gave their lives. The other remembers the Savior who gave his life. But he didn't stop there, but then he sent the fire of the Holy Ghost down. One honors those who died defending a nation. The other celebrates the birth of a church that was empowered by heaven. So there is a connection between Memorial Day and Pentecost, right? You want to know what the connection is? Freedom always costs something. Freedom always costs something. Amen. See, I know we say it a lot. Our freedom, praise God, our freedom costs somebody else. Somebody else, no greater love have a man have than to lay down his life for his brother, right? Freedom always costs something. And so we know the freedom that we operate, that we can come here this morning. But how about the freedom that we can lift our hands and we know that there's a Holy Ghost fire? It costs us. And we say salvation is free. And it is. It doesn't cost us one dime. Amen. But it was not free. It cost Jesus his life. And to imagine that Jesus gave his life for me and for you. So it cost something. Amen? Hallelujah. That was free. It didn't cost you nothing extra. Today I want to speak to you about two towers. Two towers. Now when you think about towers, anytime we're talking about a tower, something's lifted up. I remember when I first moved here to Providence, used to have a water tower up here above the cemetery, and it was lit up at night. Okay? And so towers are always exalted. They're always lifted up. So I want to talk to you about two towers. First, I want to start out in Genesis. Genesis 11, 1 through 9 says, now the whole earth had one language. Everybody say one language. One language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar that they dwelt there. Amen. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Look here, a tower whose top is the heavens. But right now we see the motivation behind that. All right? It says, but let us make a name for ourselves. Let's make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. In other words, they were in unity, but they didn't have the power of God behind them. They were in unity. This says, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. In other words, the Lord's saying, you know, everything they're doing is right, except they're not including me. They're in unity. And because when people get in unity, right here it says there's nothing that they won't propose to do that will be withheld from them. But look what happens. Because, and we got to remember the motivation of this unity. The motivation was, let's make a name for ourselves. Come, let us come down. And they are confused their language, and they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad there over the face of the earth, and they ceased the building of the city. In other words, God came down in that. Why? Not because they were in unity, but because they had the wrong motivation in unity. They thought, we're going to build this place, this tower up to the heavens because we're going to make a name for ourselves. And I mean, too many times I've seen people that have a calling or a gift in the palm of their life, but because they want to make a name for themselves, you don't see them last very long. Here's the thing. This ain't about my name. My name, I'll tell you what, my name won't get you nothing but spam calls and bills. Okay? But I serve someone whose name is above every other name. Amen? That name is Jesus. That name causes hell to tremble. That name causes people to get up out of the grave. That name causes sickness to flee. That name tells cancer, you ain't nothing, go. That name speaks against anything that's evil, anything that's coming against the man or woman of God. That name is the name above every name, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I was talking to my brother even on Thursday, and I was asking about my nephew. They've been going through a different stuff with him and had him down at Duke's Hospital trying to get some specialists and stuff. And he told me that, and I said, how's he doing? And they said, well, this is what they said. But I figured, and he's been listening all these years. He goes, they gave it a name, so that gave us something to pinpoint our prayers. Yeah, how many knows that every knee shall bow? That's the reason when they came in and they told me, said, well, this is what's going on with you. It ain't your throat, it's your head, which we kind of knew that. But anyway, but they gave it a name. Because they gave it a name, I was not upset, because now I know how to pray. Yeah. Too many times you get a name. And see, when people get a name, maybe you get a bad prognosis or what you say? I didn't say that right. Yeah, that what y'all said. My brain was thinking about three thoughts ahead of it. You get a bad report. There we go. Thank you. You get a bad report, and what happens? All of a sudden, we start falling out of pieces. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what that bad report says. Jesus has the last say so. You may admit, it's like when people hear the word cancer, they automatically think death. I automatically think Jesus is the name above every name. Jesus is the name above every name. It says, so the Lord scattered abroad across the face of the earth, and they ceased in the building. Therefore, it is called, the name is called Babel. I think it's interesting that they've got a new app out. It's been out a few years. They got an app so you can learn another language. Guess what it's called? Selah. Think about that one. Therefore, the name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth. Look here in Acts. So we see everybody coming together, but for the wrong motive. And their language, they used to speak the same language, but now their language is everybody's different. Amen. And I've had people come up to me and ask me, said, how come over in this country they speak this language, and how come they speak it? Because the Tower of Babel, that's where it all, where the rubber met the road. You say, well, why did that happen? Because the motive for the unity was wrong. The motive for the unity is wrong. Look here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, amen. It says they were all in one accord in one place. In other words, it's not talking about a car. They were not in a Honda. I've heard people say, why was they in the Honda? No, they weren't in the Honda. They were in the upper room, another tower. Another exalted place. It says, on the day of Pentecost come, they were all in one accord in one place. In other words, they were in one mind and one accord, the King James says. They were getting along, but guess what? Their motive was not, I'm going to repeat, their motive was not, let's make a name for ourselves. Their motive was, let's make Jesus famous. If your motive is anything other than making the Lord famous and making Him known, not yourself, then you have the wrong motive. No, I don't care what you're trying to do. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were in one of mind, one accord, in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire and sat upon each of them. I think it's awesome. This ain't in my notes. It's just something that God spoke to me. Everybody, there's 120 of them there, by the way. 120 of them, everybody got their own fire. Nobody got grandma's fire. Nobody got my daddy. He's a man of God, glory to God. Thank God for grandmas and grandpas and dads and moms and uncles and aunts and all those. But God wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. And then when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He wants you to have a personal fire. He doesn't want you to say, well, so-and-so and man, our preacher, this and that. No, He wants you to have a fire. Amen? So there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. Amen? So I'm talking to you about two towers today. When we're speaking of two, there are two famous exalted places in the Bible, the Tower of Babel and the Upper Room. One was built by man trying to reach God or be like God. The other was filled with God and came down to reach man. At Babel, people were united in their flesh, but divided by God. In the upper room, people were united in prayer and empowered by God. And put it to you this way, Babel produced confusion. Babel produced confusion. The upper room produced revival. Go back to that. Babel produced confusion, but the upper room produced revival in the land. How do you know that, Pastor? Because if you read on in Acts chapter 2, it said 3,000 came into the church. Then you read a little bit farther, and it says, and then 5,000. So 8,000 people got saved because of 120 people decided, you know what? I've got a lot going on, but for 10 days we're going to tarry till I be filled with power. See, Jesus told him in Acts 1:8, He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But can you imagine people sitting around that upper room because it was 10 days, but they didn't know how long it was going to be. He said, tarry till you receive. In other words, stay there till you get it. And I can't say that the is or isn't, but I believe this. I believe there's more than 120 started out. But all of a sudden, when the longer it took, then I said, maybe we didn't hear it right. Maybe He wasn't telling us right. Maybe we didn't interpret it right. And so we get every excuse, but that 120 that waited upon the Lord, that tarried, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and power. It wasn't just any kind of power. It said the power to make you a witness. In Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. God wanted them to receive power. Everybody, I hear people say they focus so much on the tongue that they forget. That was a byproduct. The tongue was the power to be a witness is what was important. The power to live holy, the power to live right, the power to overcome the obstacles of this life. That's the reason I believe that everybody needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not so we can all speak in tongues. It's so that we can have the power of God in our lives. Amen. Genesis 11:4 says, let us build a city. Let me jump back. I got confused here. Sorry. Babel scattered people apart. The Holy Ghost brought people together. And I believe that the spirit of Babel is still alive today. Because what does the spirit of Babel do? The spirit of Babel divides people. The spirit of Babel divides, but the Holy Spirit still unifies. See, Babel was built on pride. Genesis 11:4 says, let us build ourselves a city, a tower, and make a name for ourselves. The motivation of Babel was pride. Make a name for themselves. They did not want God's glory or God's will. They wanted human glory. How many people do you know, even in church, that they'd rather have a data boy or a pat on the back by everything they do? They want everybody to see everything they do. That's right. Oh, y'all got quiet. You know what I'm talking about. You've met that type of person that every time they do something, they give the resume. Well, I've seen some people that every time they go do something for the Lord, they call me and Pastor Barb. They call us and say, I did this, I did that. I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank you. But I'm thinking, you just missed what God was trying to do, not only to you, but through you. Because you wanted to get that a boy or whatever, that a girl. See, Babel represents self-exaltation, carnal ambition, and human ability without God. What does that boil down to? This is the whisper that the Lord gave me. Whenever flesh gets on the throne, division follows. Whenever flesh gets on the throne, division always follows. Amen. No matter if someone gets in a place of, or a position of power and they're walking in the flesh and not walking in the spirit, guess what? Division's going to come next. They always manifest themselves like that. Pride always divides. Pride always divides. It divides what? It divides homes. It divides churches. It divides friendships. It divides ministries. Because pride says this, it's my way, my opinion, my recognition. See, when Satan was tossed out of heaven, he wasn't tossed out of there because he's an adulterer. You've heard me say it before. He was tossed out of heaven because of pride. Because he wanted to be about him instead of about God. Amen. And I found that when we're dealing with people being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, see, here's the thing. Let me teach you a second. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. Amen. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Everybody understand? But there's a difference between being filled and being baptized. In other words, I can take a... Used to, I can't right now, but I used to could take a water and I could take a sip of it. That water went inside of me, but that didn't mean I was baptized. Many, if not all of you, or most of you, have been baptized into water. God wants us baptized in the Spirit. He also says, in John, he says, I want you to see you baptized with fire. Yes. Amen. But I found out something about baptism. Amen. This is what the Lord gave me. The Holy Ghost won't fill a heart that's still already filled with itself. The Holy Ghost will not fill a heart already full of itself. How many of you met people that are full of themselves? Don't lift your hand. Hallelujah. You wives, quit looking at your husbands. No, I'm kidding. See, Babel produced confusion and division. Genesis 11:7 says, let us go down there and confuse their language. One language became many. One people became scattered. They could no longer understand one another. Why? Because the enemy loves confusion. Confused minds, confused doctrine, confused identity, confused purpose. See if it. Confusion is birthed in our hearts. And this is what the Lord told me. Confusion is birthed in our hearts because of isolation. Confusion is birthed because of isolation. That's the reason the Word of God says there is no private interpretation of His Word. How does confusion be birthed in isolation? Well, I'm just going to stay home from church today. I'm going to do it again the next week and the week. And if you stay home enough, guess what? You're going to become isolated, that your mind will begin to think that everybody's against you and judging you. So isolation creates confusion in our hearts. And all of a sudden, when you say it out and you think everybody's against you, you say, I don't need anybody. I don't need them church people. And then we get to a place and we start feeling conviction about it. And then we say, I don't want to come back to church because I don't want to be a downer to nobody. Boy, you're quiet now. I don't want to be a downer to someone else. So guess what? I'll just stay at home. In other words, you started staying at home because you was lazy. Then all of a sudden, it became that everybody was against you. But all of a sudden, when you feel conviction of the Holy Spirit, then you're afraid to come back because you're afraid everybody's judging you, or you're afraid that you're going to be a downer, so you choose to stay at home again. What? Is this on? This one. See, the devil divides through offense, jealousy, gossip, competition and bitterness. Babel is still alive today wherever people are, because we talk but we don't communicate. We attend church but we're disconnected. We stand together physically but we're divided spiritually. The church cannot have revival while fighting itself. I'm just taking a moment in between these. I'm trying to teach so that you can begin to think about this. The upper room was built on unity, was it not? Acts 2:1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. One accord, one place, with one purpose. I want you to notice something. God did not pour out His Spirit on a divided room. If we walk divided, and I'm not saying you are, and I'm not saying you're not, but I'm saying this, if there's any Babel spirit in any of us, if there's any division amongst us, guess what? God will not pour His Spirit out on an unprepared people, and He won't pour out His Spirit on a divided room. Because we get so focused on me and my problems that all of a sudden we forget about anybody else. It's easy to do. I'm not up here trying to judge you, or what I'm trying to do is bring it into your attention that, yeah, everybody here's got a story. Everybody went through something this week. Some we may think is harder than others, and you may think yours is rougher than, and it probably is. But guess what? When you begin to think about you, you all of a sudden begin to realize, you know what? God ain't going to pour out His Spirit because we're a divided room, because I'm still wanting everybody all the attention on me. I'm still wanting all the attention on me, because as long as it's on me, I feel good about it. Hallelujah. Before the fire fell, the people came together. Unity attracts the presence of God. I don't know which ones I sent to Gary. Unity attracts the presence of God. So many times, you know, we may end up in a church that ever say, well, I didn't feel this and I didn't feel that. Were you walking in the spirit of unity or the spirit of Babel? Were you walking in a spirit that unifies, or was you walking in a spirit that divides, that you want to point your finger in self-righteousness about everybody else in the church? I'm not looking at anybody, so don't nobody come after me. Why'd you look at me when you said that? I'm just trying to bring to our attention, okay? Because I don't know about y'all, but I want to see a Holy Ghost-filled revival. I don't want just a spring revival or a fall revival. Thank God for it. But I want one that's not man-made. I want one that's God-made. I want God to send it, not man. Only he can do that. But he will only do that when we're together. Unity attracts. Psalms 33:1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." I believe unity with the right motive. I used to say unity is the key, but it's unity with the right motive. Understand? Because in the Tower of Babel, they had unity, but they had their own motive. Let's make a name for ourselves. See, if you have inside, say, "I just want the church to come together," but yet you've got a secret agenda, then that motive will not work in the eyes of God. Amen? Unity, listen to me very closely. Unity does not mean everybody's identical. It means that everybody is surrendered to the same spirit. In the upper room, different personalities, different backgrounds, different failures, and different stories. But guess what? But there was just one spirit that united them all. See, Babel scattered people, but Pentecost gathered people. At Babel, the languages divided people. But guess, listen to this. But at Pentecost, God used languages to bring people together. He used languages to bring people together. Look here at Acts 2:6. "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused." That were confused, past tense. Were confused because everyone heard them speak in what? His own language. See, that's why I'm saying the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. Guess what? The tongues are there, and I thank God for tongues. I'm like Paul. He said, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." But there's something else that comes along with it. See, and you may have heard me tell this story. Y'all know Brother Keith Nix, that I get up for the camp meeting. I'm going to be up there at his church, or at God's church, the Lift, that he's pastor of up in Sevierville in 2 weeks. But here's the thing about it. His dad was a mentor to me and him, okay? Brother Larry Nix. But I heard Brother Larry tell this story, and Keith said he was there when he was a young man. But he was out, I think, in New Mexico or somewhere out in the Southwest. But he's preaching to this little church. And it was on a reservation, a Choctaw Indian reservation, I think it was. If I'm telling it wrong about what Indian. But anyway, he starts to preach. He said there hadn't been nobody come to the altar all week long, this revival. He said it'd just been dead as it could be. But he said he started to preach, and all of a sudden he started preaching in tongues. And so he started preaching in tongues. Even himself, he said, "I don't even know what was happening." And he said, "It didn't sound like the regular tongue that I've spoken and the Spirit gave me." He said, "I kept preaching." He said, "All of a sudden, these Native Americans were just getting crazy." And said they were running out the door and running around the church. And he thought, "Oh my goodness, this is on the warpath or something." And he kept doing it. And if somebody else had reached down and said, "Pastor, what's going on?" to the pastor. I said, "You don't understand." I said, "That man's preaching in Choctaw Indian." I said, "They've never heard the gospel in their own language." I forgot how many got saved, healed, and all that. But it all happened because someone was submissive to realize it's beyond the tongue. It's the power that God wants to release. See, we all get caught. If you're not grown up, and I didn't grow up in Pentecost, okay? I grew up in a different denomination church. But we get so caught up in the tongue, and we don't realize the tongue, yeah, it's powerful. It's awesome. But it's what comes with it. Acts 1:8. Read it, Acts 1:8. "You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And it said, not just power. It ain't power so you can become like a superhero. It's power to be the witness that you're called to be. Why is that so important? Well, I don't need that. If you struggle with sinning, you need that. If you struggle with something else, maybe you go to work and there's somebody you've been wanting to get saved for a long time, and you say, "Why I haven't got this thing that you're talking about." Guess what? You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit because God wants to use you to be a witness to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Said at Babel, the language divided people, but at Pentecost, God used languages to bring people together. In other words, every man heard it in their own language, but what Babel broke apart, the Holy Ghost began restoring. Is that not awesome that we see in Genesis that God came down and confused them and gave all these language? Why? Because of pride. But all of a sudden, they get in the upper room, and there is no pride. They're in one mind, one accord, in one place for one purpose. And all of a sudden, he fills that place, and God, I'd never seen this a few years back, but God started releasing some of this Sunday night. We had a wonderful service down in Sturgis. I wasn't even able to preach, but I got the microphone, and some people were testifying, and it come back around to me, and I said, the Lord just spoke to me that what we lost at the Tower of Babel, God restored in the upper room. So all of a sudden, everybody was divided because of language. But right here, everybody heard it in their own language. So they brought it back together again. There's nothing that God doesn't, that we don't see in the Old Testament and torn apart that God don't restore in the New Testament. That's what this was, because I know people, I can't believe God did that so he could restore that. But guess what? It's going to take faith to receive that. Yes. It's going to take faith to receive, hallelujah. What Babel broke apart, the Holy Ghost began to restore. Or what pride broke apart, humility brought it back together. And I've done said this, but I want to say it again. Remember, the Holy Ghost won't fill a heart full of itself. The gospel crossed barriers, race, culture, background, status. In other words, the Holy Ghost makes strangers family. The Holy Ghost makes strangers family. In church, rich or poor worship together, young and old worship together, broken and restored worship together. The only the Spirit of God can unite people that the world says should never come together. I believe that a lot of the times, and I've been in churches and even our own church, we don't fit together, you know, in the natural. I mean, let's be honest about it. Were you acquainted or friends with the person down the row or across the church from you until you came to church together? See, Sister Claudia, I didn't even know her till church. Pastor Barb knew her because she's from Litchfield area. But I didn't know her till she started coming here. And I only know that part of her and what Pastor Barb told me. Each one of you got a story. Amen. See, I didn't know you until you came to church. I didn't know you. I did know you before I got to church because you used to buy bologna from me. But guess what? I've got to know you deeper than just your appetite since you started coming to church. You understand? So many people, and it's not just the pastor, so many of us, we don't belong together, but all of a sudden the Spirit of God moves in our hearts, and what man would try to divide, God put it together. See, we don't even understand sometimes. Like this morning, I found out they lived in Uniontown. Okay? That's a long way to come for a church service. And they've been coming faithfully. See, we wouldn't have known that. I would have never known them had it not come to church. So God takes what divides us in the natural and brings us together. Amen. Ain't that right, brother?
Amen.
That's right. Because God wants to take what don't fit together. See, I was a square peg in a round hole. But then God brought us together by his Spirit. Nothing else would work. Nothing else would do. Because we don't fit together. When we was out in the world, we probably didn't hang together. But when we got together, the Spirit of God got a hold of us. Then we started to know each other. Then we started to be around each other. Then we fell in love with each other. Then we found out, you're my brother from another mother. That's what God is trying to do. You start finding out about somebody, and you start understanding, and you start knowing somebody, not because I was out in the world, but because the Spirit of God did something and brought me in here. Amen. See, the number one reason we're here is to worship Jesus. Yes. You know what the byproduct of that is? The byproduct is we start a community of believers. Amen. And then God begins to add to the church. He begins to add to the church, not because we're having this great revival or we're doing all these things. He starts adding to the church because His Spirit is what we agree on. See, I may disagree with you on your politics. I may disagree with you on this or that. And we can have a whole list of that we don't agree on. But guess what? There is something. We agree that Jesus Christ died for you and I. See, I have people from different denominations, and they say, well, I don't know if I can come to your church. I say, well, I can come to yours. You know why I can? Because what you believe, how you believe, and all that, that's not as important as long as you believe what the base story is. That's the reason the other night I was preaching at this church, and I preached a message. Hopefully I get to preach it again. It's called Two Fires, that Peter dealt with two different fires. He dealt with the fire of denial. Remember him standing around? And he dealt with this fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost. And it brought him back together. It brought him back in right standing. But all of a sudden, I was preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now I realize maybe this ain't a church that's full. And I didn't realize that because I was friends with the pastor until I got there. And every other speaker they had was Baptist pastors. And here I am up there preaching about the Baptist. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, because I'm going to love either way. Guess what? I had every Baptist preacher that was in there come and said, I needed to hear this tonight. The lady Pastor Barb's talking about, she went across the street, a little Methodist church, and she goes, I don't know what. She said, I've just been crying the whole service, said, I want to lift my hand, said, I never have. She came forward, and all of a sudden we prayed for her. That woman started worshiping the Lord. I said, take it back to the Methodist church. This ain't about building our church. It's not about building that church. It's about building the church. Amen. How many knows that there are people that we need to get full of the Holy Spirit? We need to start worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. And we don't need to go all to one church. We need to go, and to all the world. That's the reason it's not how many people we can seat. It's how many people we can send. That God's wanting to bring something. See, you can build your tower. Look here. You can build towers with talent, but they cannot produce revival without fire. Many people are gifted in different areas. They're talented in different areas, but you can never build upon the talent. You need to build upon, hallelujah, the Spirit. Only Spirit can unite us. See, fire fell in the upper room. Here's something. I'll tell you one more thing that Pastor Larry Nix told me. God was using me, and there was a particular gift that I was flowing in a lot in the early stages of ministry. It was a prophetic gift, and I prophesied over there. He told me this. He said, young man, he said, come here, I want to talk to you. And I said, yes, sir. Because he was the kind you said, yes, sir. And he said, and I was like 26 when he's doing this. He said, never base the ministry that God has given you off of the gift that He's given you. Amen. Never base the ministry God has given you off of the gift that God has given you. And I was like, okay, why? He said, because you may get at some church sometime, because I was just evangelizing at the time. And he said, and you may want to use that gift, and God says, no, I'm doing something different tonight. And so you would be under pressure to perform. Y'all need it? If you prophesy, then all of a sudden God says, tonight, I don't want you prophesying, or this morning, I don't want you prophesying. But everybody who came to get a word from. You know how they do that. Said all of a sudden, you will feel like you need to perform and you'll prophesy of yourself instead of out of the Spirit of God. And so years ago when I was early in ministry, I think I was about 26, 27 when he told me that, I found out about the talent or the gifting that you have. Can't build a tower that ain't full of fire. You know what's awesome about the fire of God? Anybody can get it, whether you're talented, gifted, or have a gift of the Spirit, or flow in a different time. It doesn't matter if you can or cannot play an instrument, if you sing or cannot sing. What it matters about, are you full of the fire of God? Acts 2:3 says, and there appeared to him cloven tongues of fire. Babel was man-made. Pentecost was God-made, or God-breathed. Babel worked on the outside in. The Holy Ghost works from the inside out. The church doesn't need, listen to me, the church doesn't need more entertainment. It doesn't need more performance or more programs. We need a Holy Ghost fire. We need Holy Ghost unity. We need Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Let me read to you a whisper. It says, revival never starts with comfort. Revival never starts with comfort. Revival starts with desperation. And this is something that the Lord laid on my heart, and I was like, okay, God, I understand. People who are satisfied rarely seek God deeply. People that are satisfied rarely seek the Lord deeply. You say, what do you mean? If you think everything's all right in your life, you're not going to seek him if somebody's over here that's desperate. If you just got a bad report, you're desperate to see the Holy Spirit move in your life. Amen? Amen? But if everything's going good, guess what? You're probably, I'm not saying you are or not, rarely you're seeking as much as that person. And guess what? I've been this person, and I've been this person. I've failed in both areas, okay? But the Lord began to show me. You know what? Seek him while he might yet be found. Seek his face. See, the problem is we seek God's hand, but not his face. We seek his hand, what he can do for us, but we don't seek his face. It's his face that brings favor to our lives. It's his face that brings favor to our lives. Amen? Let me hurry up here. It says, when people get hungry, when somebody gets desperate, when somebody says, I can't stay the way I am, that's where revival begins. Amen. The upper room was filled with hungry people. They waited, they prayed, they tarried, and they sought God with one mind and one accord. And guess what? Heaven answered hungry with the fire of God. I believe that God still fills hungry people. I want to say it again. I still believe that God fills hungry people. He said, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Okay? Listen to me closely. I still believe that God fills hungry people. Not perfect people. Not just talented people, but hungry people. I believe the Holy Ghost still unifies us today. See, the world we live in today is probably more divided than it's ever been because of politics divide, culture divides, social media divides, sin divides. But the church should be still the most unified place on earth. Why? Because we are baptized into one body. Tell it. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one spirit we are baptized into one body. The Holy Ghost tears down walls. When revival comes, I'm talking about Holy Ghost sent revival. When revival comes, guess what? Hatred leaves. Bitterness breaks. Forgiveness flows. And love returns. I want to tell you something. The devil, the enemy, Satan himself, fears a united church. Why does he fear a united church? Because when unity and fire come together, revival explodes. When unity and fire come together, revival explodes. How does this happen? Because when before God can use us publicly, he's got to cleanse us privately. Bible said this, let's make a name for ourselves. The upper room said this, not my will, but your will, Lord. Bible scattered nations, Pentecost birthed this church. See, one tower reached upward in pride, and but one room bowed downward in surrender. And the same Holy Ghost that fell in Acts 2, guess what? He still wants to fall today. So if there is division, guess what? God can heal it. If there is confusion in your life, guess what? God can clear it. If there is pride, guess what? God can break it. The answer for the Babel spirit is Pentecost. In other words, the answer for confusion in the church is unity in the church. So I want you this morning, we need to come into unity. We need to come into surrender. We need to come receive the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I've already got it. Guess what? I believe some people need a fresh infilling. A fresh infilling that we can start to realize again, it's about him, it's not about me. Because I still believe the answer to Babel is still Pentecost. So which tower are you hanging out at? Are you want to be in the upper room? Or do you want to be building the Tower of Babel in your life? In your life, in your family, in the ministry that God has entrusted you with? You choose. You choose. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. It doesn't go out void, but it's accomplished what it's sent to do. And it's pleasing and prosper in your sight. God, I ask right now to move by your word throughout the people. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, today's the day of salvation. If you do know him, but you need to come back, today's the day that you come back home. But let me talk to some Christians. Maybe you just need a fresh infilling. Maybe you need to be filled. Whatever it is, you're going to find the answer at the altar. You're going to find the answer. And so I encourage you, don't leave here the same way as you came in. You may have come in here bitter. You may have come in here angry or mad. Guess what? God can fix that. God can fix it. Only you can surrender to the answer, though. Only you can make a difference.
You've been listening to Sermons from the Well with Pastor Tim Rigdon. Subscribe on iTunes or Google Play to get fresh new weekly episodes. For more, please visit our website at www.thewell.live. Until next time, come as you are. You won't leave the same.